This is Low Moon Outsiders, and the story continues.
We're out on the roof.
He may or may not be alive.
Wait, really?
My shot.
Yeah.
Chiron and,
because they're following those guys.
He's keeping an eye on the gnome, and I'm keeping an eye on him, just in case.
I was the only one keeping an eye on you.
Where's Lucas?
He's in the bed.
But he's not in the hall area.
What are we watching?
Yeah, we haven't woken up yet.
Nope. Yeah.
It's our guide.
Halfling, actually.
Oh.
Or Halfling, sorry. Halfling.
Isn't that the guy who's like the dragon killer?
No.
No.
Yes. The dragon killer is the guy who's in your room.
Yeah, I don't know how we didn't think about that.
Put
we got the info that he was a famous fabled dragon slayer, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Low Moon Outsiders.
I decided to lock her overnight.
Well, we thought he was gonna go after the gnome.
September 5th, 2024. We're a week early, so all of those of you who are just a couple minutes late, you're actually a week minus 5 minutes. So that's pretty good. You're a week early. But that being said, we're picking up from where we last left off, which was with Clume sleeping soundly in her bed in the Hillcrest Inn, but astirred. Awoke, realizing he heard sounds in the hallway, and then the door to Clume's room. And when we last left our mission of them, Astirred had just come through the doorway to see a silhouette of a man, what looks like a man, standing over Clume's bed. To be clear, you cannot make him out clearly. Because it's dark in the room and the shades are cold. And it is nighttime, so there's no sun outside anyway. And the lamp lit in the room, that kind of thing. And it's not obvious like that he's standing over her with a blade raised, ready to kill her. Like, he doesn't look like this, you know, with his arms up raised, ready to kill her, or anything like that. Okay? And so you are clearly not surprised because you came in here with a obvious intention.
I've been looking for trouble.
Right. And he is not surprised either. And so as you burst into the room, you may roll initiative. Now, you can speak at any time, obviously outside initiative, but initiative will determine when you will act if you actually engage him in combat.
5.
Okay. All right. So you dash in the room. He was standing over top of her. And then,
is he facing toward the door or away from the door?
So the door would be to his right. So once you come in the door, the corner, you know, the wall goes right and left, and then straight ahead, it's just basically a square room. The bed is directly ahead of you, slightly to the left, and the window that leads outside is on the same side of the bed that he is on. Okay. He reacts in initiative first. Okay. And he turns toward the window. So by initiative 6, he is moving toward the window. And then we're in 5. What do you do? Shoot him in the leg. Okay. So that's called shot. So I'll allow you to call shot in the leg, but it will be with a negative because to get the full round of aiming, you didn't see him at that time because you were coming in the doorway.
Okay.
So this is a very quick called shot on average. If you miss him, you'll just miss. You're not going to hit her or anything like that. So. Okay. So roll to hit. What is your normal called shot? What is your normal minus for called shot now? Do you take extra slots in called shot, or do you still have your normal?
I did take extra slots.
You did 1 extra slot, so you're down to minus 8.
Minus 8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So it is point blank range, so you get plus 2 to hit from that.
That is 1.
Roll what?
1.
Roll that to 20. Are you rolled a natural 20, or that's with 20 with bonuses?
Natural 20.
Natural
20.
All right. Okay. So now, I assume you were shooting to impair, like shooting the knee or whatever.
From escaping.
Yeah. So you're trying to stop him from running away. Okay. All right. So roll percentile dice. You're looking for a low number. Okay. So it hits in the back of his leg, just below the below the knee, and it does basically stick, and it passes like 4 inches through. Roll damage. What times?
Any magical bow or magical arrows or anything involved?
The magical bow, plus 2 to hit, plus 2 damage.
Okay. And point blank range. Plus 2. Here, plus 4. Bow's not made for strength. So would you roll the dice?
I rolled 2.
2 plus 4 is 6. Times 5 is 30. Okay. Okay, so he topples forward immediately. Roll 3d6 versus wisdom to see if you wake up. Yeah, so generally speaking, if you're shooting to impair a limb, no matter how much damage you do, you will not kill them outright. However, if it's enough damage that it puts them in negatives or would theoretically kill them, they will be bleeding out very fast. Like, it means you hit an artery or something like that. So you'll usually afterwards have a very short period of time to potentially save their life if you're not trying to kill them. And a bow is a dangerous thing to shoot somebody with from 20 feet away.
Yeah.
Even in the lake. Okay, I'm sorry, what'd you roll?
13.
Okay. And your wisdom is... Okay, so the bow goes off in your room, and you sleep through it. Okay?
Awesome.
So
very good.
However, as he topples forward and hits the edge of the window, which looks like he hit kind of hard, hit the door, the frame around the window, he hits the edge of it.
Topple out of the window.
And he busts through the shutters. And falls headfirst out the window.
There goes that guy.
It would be feasible, assuming you are continuing to move forward, for you to get there pretty quickly, like to either see him land or see what happens to him or possibly even do something about it.
I just want to grab him.
Okay. So you rush to the window. The longbow...
I'm going to drop the longbow.
Okay, so you drop the bow as you hit the window. Okay, as you reach the window, he is... So the outside this window, there is a shallow sloping roof, right? Remember, the building is kind of like a mound. It's not a... It's a halfling building. It's not a... like a peaked roof, like an English roof or anything like that. So, so he is laying on the sloped roof, dangling, and he has his thumb under a sheik's shingle on the roof, and he's holding onto it, clutching on with one hand, and then all three of his other limbs are sort of dangling off the roof as if he is about to fall. He is within reach. Now, it strikes you that the distance to the ground from where he is only probably about 8 feet, so it's not like a deadly fall if he does fall, but he does have the arrow is still stuck in his leg. He definitely does not look good. Also, outside, there is about half a moon and visible, not much stars at all. So there is a dim light, and compared to the darkness of the room that you were just in, you can see some. And you can see that it is not Van Brake. Rather, it is a young man, probably looks like he can't be any older than 14 or 15 years old. He has black hair, kind of matted to his head, almost looks sweaty. He's thin, probably about 100 to 110 pounds. He's wearing leather armor and has daggers on his chest. But he does not have a weapon drawn at the moment. Check. Roll a d20 if you would.
14.
And your wisdom is?
Wisdom is 13.
Okay. All right. So as you upper body out the window, so remember the windows also are lower to the floor. It's a halfling structure. So the window sill comes like to your thigh, mid-thigh. So part of the reason he fell out the window so easily is because it's lower to the floor than is really safe for a human being. And it's a pretty big window. But anyway, he is human. And he is dangling there. You can easily get a hold of him if you want to. He's not squirming, trying not to be grabbed or anything like that. Okay, let me check and see. Roll percentile dice. You're looking for a high number just to see whether he's going to let you grab him or try to pull back.
41.
And your charisma is what? Okay.
Charisma is 9.
Okay. All right, so as you go to reach for his arm, he tries to let go of the shingle and get away, so you are going to have to roll it to hit roll to actually grab him if you want to grab onto his forearm or wrist or whatever.
20?
Yes.
16.
Okay, no problem. So you grab onto his forearm, and he's now literally dangling by your forearm, and again,
so I have an 18 strength, and I pull him up?
In theory, however, the doors, the windowsill is like just above your knee or at thigh level, and you're leaning out holding him. So the first thing you're going to figure out is, do you fall out? Right? So you're going to roll Ben Bars Lift Gates.
27.
That's percentile dice.
Percentile.
Yeah, low.
24.
And you have an 18 what strength?
So 18.
Should be 18 on a percentile.
11.
18-11. Look on the far right of the chart. There should be a percentile dice roll for Ben Bars Lift Gates.
Oh, 20.
It is 20?
Yes.
Okay. So basically what happens is you're holding him, and your feet don't quite have the purchase, and you wind up leaning out the window, and you slam your hand on the window, the wood next to the window, to stop yourself. Again, a loud noise. There's quite a bit of action that's happened. Roll again, 3d6.
Oh.
12. Sleeping blissfully unaware. Okay. So all of this excitement and she is out cold. Apparently sleeping is something Klum is good at. We've figured that out now. Okay. Alright.
She's spent 3 days sleeping.
Checking the window. Okay, so when you slam the window, the piece that's like the framing piece and two of the planks break. And one piece goes sailing off into the street and skitters on the street below. But you're strong. Well, and it's also body weight and halfling construction. So and it's really double body weight because you're holding him too.
Normal buildings weren't really made at that time.
Anyway, so it doesn't give way. You don't fall out on the street, but you're left kind of like dangling there for a second. And then after that, you begin to kind of haul him back in. He's not able to get free from your grasp unless you're loosening your grip, basically. So roll Ben Bars Lift Gates again. If you can, you will haul him back in the window.
54.
Okay. So you're back standing up inside the window, and you've hauled him at least back up onto that shallow ledge outside. He says in common, "Let me go! Let me go!"
Who are you? What are you doing?
Okay. So at this point, like he seems to look you in the face for the very first time, and maybe realize who you are, and he says, "Astrid, I meant no harm." Okay. Passes out. and now you can easily haul him in. Takes a second, but you have him up in the room. Do you have healing or anatomy?
I have no healing.
Okay. So you check him, and you realize that, like, he's bleeding very badly from the arrow in his leg. And you're like, you can stuff it with bandages and try to stop it, even though you don't have healing. But it's evident that he needs a healer or someone who can do more than you can do.
Is everybody else guarding the...
So Lucas, who is a healer, is in this building, theoretically sleeping.
Lucas, or go as fast as I can to get him.
Okay. So you leave him laying on the floor there?
No.
I mean, you could wake her up. She slept through this whole thing, but in theory, you could wake her up. And she is a warrior, a pretty strong warrior in her own right. So.
Tie a bell around his leg or something, just kind of stop.
Yeah. Yeah. So you warriors would know enough to apply a tourniquet, but you also realize that tourniquets are temporal at best.
Yeah.
After about an hour, they'll literally create the need for amputation in your leg.
Yeah.
So, or maybe less. But yeah, so you put a belt. You put a belt around. You can use one of his belts, so you don't have to get yours dirty. And put a belt around his leg, tighten it down pretty good, tie it off. He's still unconscious.
Alright, so I'm going to wake up Clune and...
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view. Okay, so now you are awake.
Okay.
I found him in your room. Watch him. I'm going to go your loop real quick.
Okay.
You quickly see, albeit in dim light, that he is severely wounded. An arrow, you see, he obviously removed it. So you see a broken arrow to the right of his leg, coated in blood. There's a pool of blood on the floor, and he has a tourniquet affixed around his leg, just above the knee.
And he is unconscious?
Yes. He's probably 14 to look at him, 13, 14 years old, something like that, young teen. Not super muscular, but thin, kind of wiry looking. He has black hair, and his hair kind of like sticks to his head a little bit, like thin. And he has daggers in a like bandolier on his chest, four of them, and wears leather armor. And he has he's wearing high. Soft boots, but the one is covered in blood and badly damaged.
Clune will take off his bandolier and just kind of make sure he doesn't have any other weapons on him in case he...
Okay. He does not immediately regain consciousness. You leave the room, go to Lucas's room. I assume you bang on the door. Lucas, please. What is it? And you can hear the groaning of the bed as if he's getting up.
I need your help real quick.
I'm coming. Okay. So he does not grab his armor, but grabs his shield and sword.
I explained the situation. So the kid broke into Clune's room, shot him in the leg, and he needs help.
Okay. Alright. The excitement has ended. The quiet of the night of the inn. Some birds and breeze and fires burning and that kind of thing in the town, but very little activity. No one else in the inn seems to have responded to your... I mean, it was pretty loud crashing through the shutters that he did. And the shutters are obviously damaged.
Yeah.
But no one has responded. Okay. Okay. So you and Lucas return to Clune's room, which is basically just right across the hallway. Mind you, hallways are small, a little over 2 feet wide, 7-foot ceilings. So, all right. Luke just squats down and looks at him. He's in a bad way. It's a heck of a shot.
I mean, I was probably done. Is there anything we can do?
No, I can stop the bleeding, I think. That should help a little. Yeah, he gets the bleeding, mostly stopped, gets the wound wrapped. Actually, he goes back to his room, retrieves additional bandages. You didn't say anything when you picked him up that he was going for healing. He thought he was going for some other reason. But he goes back, gets bandages and some silk thread, and stitches the wound. It's still seeping pretty bad, even after stitches it shut. Caitlin, roll it to 20 if you would. All right. So having theoretically stabilized him, he is not... Lucas will tell you that he's not going to come to consciousness anytime soon without additional aid, either a better healer or magic. Chiron could probably do it.
I guess we'll wait until Chiron comes back. I mean, is he kind of bleed out overnight and just let him go?
No, but enduring unconsciousness is always dangerous. I'll get dressed and go find him. Then I'll send him back to you, and I'll take over doing whatever it is that he's doing.
Probably a room away from gloom. I still don't know what you're there for.
Right. Okay. You take him back into your room, or
yeah, I'll take him
back. Okay. So he carries him back into your room, or back into his room, and then there's just this big pool of blood left on the floor, and a bloody arrow, and broken window, and now you can't shut the window. Okay. To be fair, it is about sometime between 3 and 4 in the morning. I don't know exactly. You should check the watch theoretically. Yes. Yes. Oh, it was exciting right there. 3:43.
3:43
exactly. Yep. Okay. Remember that. In theory, now you can stop on, you have any even hour.
Yes.
So you're 17 minutes before 4 right now. Okay. So you take him back, you've tied him up, he's waiting unconscious, Lucas goes. You're in the, Chiron's in the street. Basically, you've seen Ethan go from house to house by between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. He's in like, he's snuck into like the third house. You're pretty sure they're all like romantic interludes. He doesn't seem to be stealing things. And the one time he went from a house to another house that was very nearby and he didn't bother putting his pants on. So he was just running down the street in his underground and carrying his pants. So you're pretty sure it's that kind of sneaking around. He does have a lute. So he does appear to be bardish in some way, or at least a musician. Yeah, it's the wrong kind of lute. Okay. And then you're kind of just leaning against the wall of a house, and there's grass growing on the wall right next to you. And all of a sudden, Lucas steps up next to you from down the alley. You can roll a d6 just to see if you were surprised at his appearance. So you don't freak out or anything. Heard his footsteps a couple seconds before he came into view. And he says, "Chiron, you're needed at the inn."
At the inn?
Yes. An assailant or something entered Clum's room and a steward shot him about the knee quite proficiently, and now I've done what I can to keep him from bleeding out, but he'll not come back to consciousness anytime soon, and he's lost a lot of blood. a healer is needed.
I'll go right away.
Which house is your quarry in? I'll keep an eye out for him. You look up and see, like, there's a thin curtain across a window, and the room is lit, and you can see a halfling's head and back bobbing up and down on an angle. Okay. He goes, very well. He doesn't get to town all that often.
I'll return once the boy is in here.
Okay.
Then I'll run off towards the end.
All right, you run towards the end. Meanwhile, the two of you are in the steward's room. The boy lays there unconscious. Take any in patrons come to check on you. Nope. Is the door open or closed to your room?
Closed.
Is the door open or closed to Clem's room?
Closed.
Okay. All right. And the door will be closed to this room. Okay. So, it's quiet. Okay. So about 10 minutes or so after Lucas left, Chiron enters the inn, which you can hear heavy footsteps coming quickly up the stairs and then down the hall. So you go to which room first? Probably Clum's room, because he said there was a family room. So, right? So do you knock or just open the door?
Knock.
Okay. You hear a knock in the hallway.
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
Okay. Right. Bids you enter. All right, so you see a young man. He appears to be human, 13, 14 years old, thin, unarmed, but wearing leather armor, and has what appears to be a pretty horrific injury to the knee. They've by now, since it removed his boot, you can see that he has signs of the fact, like having not had blood flow to his foot for a while. Probably indicates they tourniqueted the wound before they bandaged it.
Okay, I'll.
He is tied and tied to the bed.
I just shoulder and. Started examining it.
Okay.
I'll say, "Mister,
who is this?"
I don't
know. Pretty new me.
Right. And you just said he met someone there now.
He said he meant me no harm as I was pulling him up from the room.
So we're healing him because he didn't have.
We're healing him because he broke into Clum's room in the middle of the night, and I went to go confront him, and he tried to escape out the window. So I shot him in the leg. I didn't want to kill him. I just wanted to draw information.
Well, hopefully he's not permanently maimed.
Looks like it at this point.
Lay on hands.
Oh, yeah. So you can do healing first, because you can probably exceed Lucas's healing. And then...
I'm confident in that.
James, you roll a 4d6 versus wisdom. That's what you're needing. All right.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what my healing
proficiency
is right now, but I have the
wrong. It should be 3d3, I think.
Okay. Which I did notice the changing in the guards, but since they didn't go back, it can't be that bad.
Okay.
5 and 6.
So you see he grips the man's knee, young man's knee on both sides. He's stripped away most of the bandages. Just a thin layer under his hand. And then he concentrates, and there is a purplish light that surrounds the knee, and you can actually, it's almost like, looks like an x-ray from where you can almost see the bone and the kneecap and like that inside. And then the young man kind of gasps as if he's being awakened or in a start, basically. Like that, and his eyes pop open, and he is conscious, and he immediately pulls against the bondage, which moves the bed slightly.
And a sigh of relief.
Okay.
I didn't want to kill the kid. I just wanted to talk.
So you shot him?
I did. He's running away.
Where's that question
player? He's trying to get away.
Never blame a carpenter for resorting to a hammer.
If I can't catch up to him, I get no information out of him. I don't know why he's doing it.
Well, almost killing someone is a relatively good way to detain them. You're half dead, you feel detained. Okay. All right. He does look like, now his arms are tied and he's tied to the bed. And I said he did pull on it. It did move slightly, so the bed might not be like a permanent arrangement to hold him, but with everybody standing around him and like that.
No harm. I'm not really trying.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so he does look wild-eyed, like scared, and then his eyes settle on Klum, and then he seems to calm down quite a bit. Like, he's actually intentionally calming his breathing.
Klum will approach him and ask him what
is it. He says, "My name is Frederick."
Why were you in my room at such an hour?
I need to speak with you.
Frederick sounds good. He's totally
not a super uncommon human name.
Typically speaking occurs during the day, not in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping.
I meant to wake you. And to avoid entanglements.
Seems you did not accomplish either of those things.
No.
What do you need to speak to me about that was so urgent?
May we speak privately? He looks at his story.
No.
Are you captive?
I am not captive. Klum will turn to the stirring Chiron and say, "Give us a moment. He doesn't have any weapons. And I can hold my own quite well."
Okay. Sorry for shooting
you. Yeah, say sorry.
Just wait in the hall in the next room over.
I'm quite sure I had it coming.
I just feel bad.
I'm
walk out.
Okay. Go back to the other room and get your bow.
Yeah, go to my bow.
Hey, at least you
start
didn't
cleaning
kill
up
it.
The mess.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, the longbow is a devastating weapon. It is the shotgun of today. Okay, anyway, as you step out of the hallway, you do see that one of the guards from the inn, is one of the Hillcrest, one of the other Hillcrest brothers, is at the end of the hall, and he had apparently had just come up, looked down the stairs to see what was going on, and started to go back down the stairs just as you stepped out into the hallway. And he stops, and he looks back at the two of you. And then he turns and walks back down the hall. So he is a halfling. He's about a little less than 4 foot tall, but he's very muscular looking, kind of stout-ish. Doesn't have shoes, hairy feet. Does have a short sword on his hip. And he says, "Is all well, gentlemen?"
What room number is?
They don't have numbers per se.
And clean up for this room. I'll get a mop and bucket or whatever else. If I ask them basically, is there anything I can get to like clean up the spill?
Sure. Let's see. Is that blood?
Quite the spill.
There was an intruder in the Lady Clune's room. He's alive.
An intruder? At Hillcrest? That never happens.
They don't know who he is or why he is there yet. Clune is speaking with him at the moment.
Shall I call the constable and have him taken into custody?
I think Clune wants to find out why he was there before we go to such measures.
I will wake one of my apprentices and have them watch the hallway. We can summon the constable whenever you are ready. Follow me. I'll lead you to a mop and a bucket.
How much to fix a window?
Growls.
I have plenty of gold.
Leave a couple gold at the bar. We'll take care of it. Right? So he does lead you down to get him off in a bucket. Just a bucket to handle, some water. He puts an actual little 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch cube of soap in the water so you can swish it around. Get the blood up. He says, if it doesn't kill the smell, let me know. We'll take care of it tomorrow.
Sorry.
Does Clune need a different room? I'm not sure we have another one empty.
She can take my room. I'll take this one.
Very well. Okay, so you head back up the stairs. He goes and wakes up one of the younger halfling guards, and they come and sit at the top of the stairs watching the hallway until you're ready to call the constable if that ever happens. Okay? He goes back to his rounds. Meanwhile, in the room. Back to get the door is shut during your parlance.
We would have shut the door behind it.
Okay. So he's on his way to be pretty.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to write this in a note. You and I are going to step out. You have to be back. Oh, well, I do need the note. Okay. We'll go in here. That really don't have to close there at the line. Oh, no, we won't close the door. Okay, so he says, my name is Frederick. I am in such a tight spot. It's the only reason I come to you. My actual name is Olavier Gredulance Avaluva Minari, which you recognize a couple of the words from a dragon tongue, but they are not... blue dragon, it's green dragon, which you don't fully speak, but you know enough to understand. He says, as he says the last couple of words, Havaluva Minari, he emphasizes the words as if they're really supposed to mean something. But you're not sure of the translation. He waits for your response.
I don't understand how I can help.
On break, essentially, is my captor.
Von Break is the dragon hunter?
Yes. You see my dilemma?
How did he capture you?
He slew, killed,
my caretaker.
And who is that?
He seems like he says, it goes against all my training to speak to you this way.
You broke into my room in the middle of the night and are putting me in just as dangerous of a situation as you are in now. I'm going to need you to be honest with me. If you want any sort of my help.
Okay. He says, what cannot be spoken can be shown.
Where?
Here is enough. Stand back. Stand back. Okay. He turns, like, shields his face for a moment, and then as he turns back, you see he shifts to almost be fully a dragon, but his scales are green. But he's young, like, maybe 8 feet long total, his wingspan being maybe 10, 12 feet, but he doesn't extend his wings. And then, after he gets almost completely to dragon form, and then he shifts back to be human again.
And if he were to tell me his family, do I know anything about like the hierarchy of dragons? Really.
No, not here, not anywhere other than home.
Okay. And he's back in human form now?
Yeah. On break doesn't know.
He doesn't know?
He doesn't know.
Then how are you his captor? Or how is he your captor?
He freed me, if you will. He found me. I was like this. If he discovers I'm a dragon, he will surely kill me.
I'm assuming that he's, like, the Van Break guy is holding him because he feels as though he owes him his life.
Probably. Kind of situation. Yeah. I mean, you don't know what he holds over his head, but to date, I have deceived him. But at any time, he could figure out who I am and be my undoing.
Why don't you leave?
I told him when he rescued me where I was from, my home, where the dragon allegedly took me from. And he agreed to escort me back there. I picked a place pretty far away. It was at random. But apparently, it's a place that he is familiar with and is going. And now, he hired Ethan, the halfling, to take us there. Last night, I heard that your group had hired Ethan away. And that Ethan's... I don't know if he's... I guess he's his apprentice, Oaken. We'll be taking Von Break and his team the rest of the way. When they leave in the morning, they will expect me to go with them. If I tell him I have lied, that I'm not from there, he will look at me more closely. If I escape in the night, he may begin to think about things that he has seen and question my origins. I mainly came to you because it is obvious that you have managed to fit in. You managed to conceal your identity if you don't take into account all the songs. Von Break obviously does not know who you are. I'm not trying to bring you trouble. But the truth is, I think all of you would be enough to put him off. I cannot face him alone.
What do you expect to happen if we do free you? Where will you go? What will you do?
I don't know. I'm young. I am. I suppose I will try to find a place to live, to hide, until I can grow older, stronger.
This isn't the kind of decision I can make for myself. I'm not the only one putting myself at risk.
I understand, but you know the code. You know the rules against our kind openly exposing themselves. I know the song, how they rescued you in dragon form and later found out no one alive except for you knows my true nature.
They don't have to know your true nature, but they do have to know if we plan to take action. We can keep that concealed.
Well, that's more than I could ask for. I don't mean to put you at risk, but enough has happened already that I think Von Berg suspects my nature, or at least that I am friend to dragons rather than an enemy, rather than a captive. I've done everything I can to be subtle, but I feel I'm not very good at it.
Perhaps there's a way for you to travel with us tomorrow. Perhaps Chiron and Stern can help us.
Thank you very much for being willing to intervene on my behalf.
I'm still weary. You did break into my room after all. And we cannot be seen together as if we know each other.
I understand. I don't have enough of a history or a skill set to be worth anything in the human world. So saying, for example, that you've hired me or that I am traveling with you for purposes of being apprenticed to somebody or something, none of that will work. He knows I am essentially a non-combatant for purposes of any real fight.
Perhaps then just as a servant for the lady queen. I need to touch her water instead of her camp for the night.
You think
you'll buy it? I think we can come up with something once we get the rest of the farm. We'll also come up with something more concrete that I can wait to deserve. Perhaps. Yeah, that's foolish.
I trust we'll come up with something then. All right. Back in the room. I assume you're going to have to talk to them next. Alright.
And he goes directly.
Well, he's tied to the bed, so.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably going to stay on tied to the bed unless somebody else dies.
Listen, I was thinking completely different here. Well, you guys go in later. Where's the boy?
Oh, boy. She ate him. That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm
going to
touch
you. Okay. All right.
We're gonna talk.
Want to hear the? This is where he shot him. I don't have anything where he runs into a window. There's no running into a window sound effect. But there is a bow critical. There is a bow critical. Okay. If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
We'll go out into the hall and seek out Chiron and his third.
Okay, so I'm not sure what Chiron is doing. He's just standing in the hallway. And Astrid is mopping up the blood in Klum's room. And it smells like blood and soap. In her room, it smells like blood and soap. Okay. So you want to go meet with them in the room where he's mopping up the blood? That would probably be most convenient. Or he's going to stop mopping up the blood temporarily.
She was going to call them into the back into the room.
Okay, so she's calling you back in. You guys can talk on the
private.
Okay. We will be back in the room.
Yep. Well, does the surgeon come back in too?
I'm not coming back.
Okay. So, you might not like this very much, but we need to help them.
I'm game. I just shot a teenager in the leg. This is not my best night.
Help them for what? Help them do what?
I'm not sure I trust his intentions clearly, and she'll kind of glare at him. But if what he says is true, then he is not just servant, but slave to Van
Break.
Break.
The demon? The dragon slayer?
The dragon slayer, yes.
Okay.
Is slavery, like, not common?
It's pretty common, isn't it?
Yeah.
I ran around with this slave girl for a while.
Okay.
I didn't have, she wasn't my slave.
We went to a slave auction in freedom.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say,
I paid her. It was not a slave, it was a transactional agreement.
It was labor.
Say, as much as I feel for Blade of Slavery, does he have a particularly cruel master? Slavery is commonplace. I don't think we can
particularly
stop and help
cruel.
Every slave.
Particularly cruel is one way to put it.
Did you tell everybody that he was, like, pretty evil? Or did you kind of confess it himself?
Did you share that he was evil? That Von James? Mm-hmm. So yes, he shared that Von Break was evil.
I'm pretty sure
evil and on a lawful bench. The disciple would not take law to his word.
I'm pretty sure Eric said that he was pretty evil.
He definitely does not strike my fancy.
I mean,
I'm always up to destroying evil.
I'm not saying we must go to the length of destroying evil. Just
is that not what you do with it?
What does he need us to do specifically?
We just need to get him away. He cannot. Cannot be on the quest with them tomorrow. He is expected to leave with them in the morning.
Will he hunt him down? Are we hiding him? Or are we buying him out?
Perhaps he might see it as though Frederick owes him a life debt.
Frederick?
Van Break feels as though Frederick might owe him his life.
Why is that?
Was it?
Then I believe.
He saved his life?
From Van Break's point of view, yes.
But yeah, Van Break feels as though he saved his life.
Then I believe.
So that is no reason to feel cruel.
Then I believe the best course of action is to speak to Van Break.
You can do that.
I
don't think Clooney is anywhere near the guy.
I don't think we need to expose him to our party in debt.
So we just.
What are you going to ask him? If we can have his slave? How would that work?
I'm
going to
ask him if what we're being told is true. And then I will tell him
and
he does
he
not
lies.
Wish to stay with him.
I feel that's very naive of you.
And if he
in what way?
And if he denies that it's true and takes him back and kills him the next day.
And if it is not true and we steal what many would perceive to be Van Break's property?
I did not say we should steal him.
You said we should help him without telling Van Break.
I didn't say we shouldn't tell Van Break.
What other way is that?
We can ask if he should be a servant in our party.
How much for the boy?
We could buy him.
You could do that too, but then
I don't really think that buying him as a slave...
We immediately free him after buying him. We don't keep the slave. We buy them
still
to
really
free
like
them.
The principle.
We buy them to free them.
I'm sure he would not mind.
This is becoming a thing for a stirred.
I have done this before.
Frederick's in the room with us. He's still tied to the bed, right?
Yes.
Clune will turn
to
Frederick.
He seems to be sleeping. I mean, he's resting, definitely. He's had a very rough hour.
Untie his hand.
Clune will turn to him and say, Frederick?
He wakes up enough to, let's see, his eyes look a little glossy, like he wasn't even sleeping, but he is awake.
It did just cross my mind. You knew Astrid. Is that just from in passing?
I know all of you from the songs.
Which song?
Not songs. There is a dragon song.
The bard.
Yes, there are many songs of our valiant glory in battle.
I did not tell Van Brake your names. I haven't told him anything since we've met in town.
I don't want to tell you.
Why would it be a bad thing for him to know our names?
Because the song tells us. The song tells that Clune is a dragon.
Oh, that seems like pretty.
All the more reason why we should not
public
introduce
information.
Ourselves.
What's that?
That seems like shockingly public information.
Yeah, that was the part. That's what you're like, that's what was the problem of the song in the first place. Their songs.
Yeah. Well.
Shockingly public information.
I still think we should talk to him.
This song describes me nude.
He doesn't have to know who we are necessarily. You don't have to come. Probably shouldn't, in fact. But I think that
ask the mind, or will you?
If you really want to go that route,
I
it feels
go
deceitful
with you
and
it's not deceitful.
I don't really want to buy a slave.
I
don't want to be sitting around the bar when I'm 30.
It's not deceitful. I am buying him as a slave, but I am freeing him later. No, there's no deceit in that. I am buying this slave.
I mean, I guess. That's true. You have a good point.
Do all masters share their intentions with
as the master of this slave, I don't wish to keep him as a slave, so I free him.
Okay.
Alright.
I'm not gonna talk. I'm the bodyguard.
Alright.
Oh gosh.
Dawn is not for like almost 2 hours.
I was just going to say, Clune's going to turn and look at Frederick and say to Astrid and Chiron, well...
Actually, I just had a thought. I think that if we ask that and he says he doesn't want to sell him, or he doesn't actually see him as a slave and so he won't sell him, or said he can't sell him, then that will severely hurt our chances of persuading him to let him go.
Perhaps don't pitch it as though you're buying a slave.
Life debt, so then that would,
just request his service. Request for him to not continue on the journey and join us instead, and if he asks why, to say as nothing more than a servant for the Lady Queen.
No, that don't say that.
Oh, yeah.
Just say for the lady in our party. As of right now, as far as I know, Von Brake has not heard the song.
Oh.
So, it's not super popular in these parts. It's more east of here.
Perhaps just say the lady then.
We can put Van Drake in danger.
You change
and then her name. Can save him.
Could change
the life.
Or you could just say it's not for her. You say it's for you. I mean, why does that have to be about...
I wouldn't pick up.
Why does it have to be Clune's servant? I don't think we should do this servant thing at all.
Okay.
I don't think it's a servant thing. I freed them.
Right. But you're coming up to a stranger and saying, may I buy your slave / servant?
That is a good point, because he did send him to us in the middle of the night, and it would be really weird for us to walk up to him and be like, hey, this guy that broke into our...
What if he doesn't even know this guy, and this guy is completely lying to us, and we just go up to him like...
Frederick says, Von Brake, you did not send me. I came of my own volition. I came with a desire to be free from him, and if necessary, to indenture myself but to then, you instead.
Okay, and then how do we break the bond that we want to keep them?
Certain men require straightforward forthcoming.
Okay. There's a knock at the door.
Men of the sword.
You, as you look, you see it's open.
Bartholomew?
Yep.
Wow, guys.
I have my
turn and see who it is. Yeah.
It is the halfling guard who was standing at the top of the stairs.
I think we untied the boy.
Yes? He says, pardon me, I couldn't help but overhear.
Really?
No witnesses.
Perhaps I could be of assistance for a small price.
And what would that price be?
Well, what's the assistance? Let's start there.
Let's start there.
Von Brake intends to leave in the morning. I heard him saying so. And to take his boy with him. As well as the wizard and the other warriors. And Oaken will be going along to guide them on. I suggest that Frederick be arrested for his trespasses this evening. My cousin is the second constable. I can make arrangements for him to hold the boy until Von Brake can tolerate no more delay.
What are the odds that you could, that one of us would be allowed to stay and help guard wherever he's being held?
No, that would be fine.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You too can make the world a better place.
Frederick, you mind going to jail?
It gets me away from Von Brake. I don't object at all.
Okay, now what's the price?
5 gold for me and 5 gold for my cousin.
Done.
God, I should ask for more.
Yes.
Yes, and rangers do divest themselves of wealth. They don't carry it, so use it up before you gotta give it away. Okay.
Is that why they keep the party funds?
Yeah, probably. Okay, anyway. So, he says, I will go and wake my cousin and let him know. I suggest he stay here with you until we can arrange direct transport to the jail.
Is there a second bed in this room?
No, there's one bed in the room. People just sleep on the floor other than that.
I feel bad keeping Clum out of her bed for a 14-year-old kid. I'm going to drag the bed from her room.
Yeah, I probably won't go because the door's not big enough. You'd have to disassemble it because the door's not big enough.
Oh my god.
Even the window's not big enough, even with part of it broken. Okay. Alright, so we'll fast forward a little bit. So the watching of Ethan does go relatively uneventfully. And he does make his way back to the Hillcrest Inn at about maybe an hour before dawn. And basically forces into his room and collapses on his bed. Not too long after that, before you and Lucas can actually, you know, grab a little shut eye or whatever, breakfast is being served, and Oaken, who is the apprentice to Ethan, is present, and the some of the others who are traveling with that band heading south are already gathering. Monbreak is not in the room yet at that time, nor is the dark-clad wizardy guy that is kind of scared of him. That you have not yet interacted with. Okay.
I take a little bit of time to just refresh myself so that I don't look like I've been up all night.
Okay. They have already moved, by that time, Frederick to the jail. And the rest of you are, I mean, kind of grabbed an hour and a half sleep. Nobody got the full 6 hours to get healing. I don't know how hurt people are. Everybody's at 4 points, I think.
Probably.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm not.
Did you?
Oh wait, as is there.
Did you want to accompany him to the jail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Roll a d20 if you would.
Three.
Outside. Definitely outside. Can I turn the one off here?
He's dead.
Not your car, right?
He's going away.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, what'd you roll?
Three.
Okay, so as you are going to the jail with Frederick and there are four halfling constables, or apprentice constables.
Four of them?
Sheriffs, basically, whatever they are. Deputies, that's what I'm looking for. Anyway, as you are headed there, the sun is just before creep over the horizon, and it's dim outside. And you see coming down the opposite direction of the street a dark-haired, beard-mustache, mid-to-late 40s, well-built, wearing mage's robes, human. But his skin appears to be kind of a little too fair and kind of darkish in color, dark, like, not tan, but almost kind of leaning toward a little bit of gray in it. And with him are two halflings, 4 foot tall, chain armor, round shields of swords.
This is where?
This is on the way to the jail.
Okay.
And then you notice, as you are passing, that they are paying particularly close attention, especially the human, and he even tries to get Frederick's attention at one point, and you think Frederick plays it off like he's zoned out, and he is limping, so he plays it off like he's just like staring at the ground, but you know that Frederick recognized him. It's not blatantly obvious, but you're a relatively good judge of the way people carry themselves or demeanor or actions, that kind of thing. And so it's clear to you that he's trying to play it off as if he didn't see the guy. But you see the guy actually goes like this on his shirt to kind of like snap him out of it, get his attention, and he doesn't look. Okay, and then they safely deposit him in the jail. Okay, the rest of you, was anyone going down that early then to see how things develop? Obviously, you'd be just getting back. You'd come back less than an hour. You didn't have things started to develop in before you could get to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You could still go to bed.
Well, first, refresh myself just so that I look like I haven't been up all night. Then I'm going to check to see what if anybody else in the party is awake right now if they're still asleep.
Okay. So Lucas came back at the same time you did. Did you see things are already beginning to develop at the inn? People are waking up. The group that's Von Break's group is getting ready to travel, although you don't see Von Break. or the other sinister-looking human, lightly clad. You don't see either one of them. But it's obviously developing. Right after you got back, after tailing Ethan, you traded positions. It was originally Chiron tailing Ethan. But then you did the most healing you could on the guy Frederick that broke into her room and needed him to come and do better, basically. So you went and switched places with Chiron. And when you and Herrick return, things are already developing at the end. Are you going to bed? Are you going to practice? Are you going to stay up and have breakfast? What are you doing?
Are you getting enough sleep?
And no one got 6 hours. But the plan was to leave today with Ethan to head to Gull River.
How injured I am.
I don't think anyone was significantly injured.
I feel like Quinn and Shirt had
6 hours. Well, we had 3 days. So.
Yeah, we had time passed between then and now. So.
Alright, yeah, I'm just going to eat.
Okay, yep. So they are serving. You have the option of eating gruel if you choose to, or otherwise they're serving meat, cheese, and nuts for breakfast.
We'll do meat, cheese, and nuts.
Okay. When we
right, so that answers your question. So Lucas is up in the in room and he is sitting down for breakfast, not going to bed.
Right. Yeah, I'll just take breakfast.
Okay.
I'm going to do like a quick breakfast and then begin training.
Okay. All right. So you're at the jail. What did you do in the intervening couple hours? Grab a little more sleep or... Okay, and then as the inn starts to become active, you hear sounds, stuff like that, you could probably put your pillow over your head and sleep some more, but people are definitely getting up.
Get up and
you know that they did get him out of the inn in time before the activity really started.
So I'm just going to get up and head towards the jail.
Okay. All right, so as you get up and you're headed downstairs, you hear talking and stuff coming from the in room, smells of food, that kind of thing. Compulsively checking the stopwatch on the way down, it's exactly 6 a.m.
Do I see anybody else around me?
No. Not then. But you're headed down into the in room, so in a minute.
Should I
get
this? How many people are around me?
Well, in the hallway, nobody. But once you go downstairs, there'll be people in the in room. You know that you're going to be dealing with Van Break this morning. Possibly.
So if you said things, you'd be the only one who'd know.
Maybe.
It's kind of party thing. Sounds like an
experiment. Yeah, you hit the button. All right, and then you put the watch away and scroll down into the in room. You see there's a half dozen people already in there eating, light conversation. It's cool. Probably 60, 65 degrees in the in room, and probably a little cooler outside, actually. There's one barmaid that's working, plus the lady of the house is tending bar. They're not, almost nobody's drinking alcohol. It's mostly the food and water and like that. Okay, so that puts you in the in room, Lucas in the in room, Herrick in the in room, correct? Okay, you're at the jail. Where is Clue? So you had about an hour and a half to 2 hours. The first half hour, 45 minutes, Frederick was still there, and given the option, he would have just laid against the bed and slept, or laid on the bed and slept, or whatever arrangements were made for him, because obviously he had a very rough night. but if you wanted to talk to him and see if you could pull out more information, you could try to do that.
No, Cole probably would have just stayed awake. If there was anywhere for her to read or just get some solitude, she would have done that and then met at the inn when it started getting active.
Okay.
She feels very well rested.
Okay. You did have a few days to
All right, so we've located everyone. Not long after you come down, so that puts Lucas, Herrick, and Asturd all in the in-room. And you know that Chiron went off, but most of you know that Chiron went off toward the jail. No, actually, that's not true. Only you know that Chiron went off toward the jail. Lucas and Herrick don't know that. And you don't see Klum at that point. When the kind of sinister-looking fellow with fair skin, but he does have a beard and mustache, and his skin, though he looks human, tends just a little bit toward kind of a gray color. And he's wearing mage's robes, and he does have a staff. And he has two halfling guards with him. They have round shields and short swords. And he enters the room, he tells them in common, said, "Get something to eat. I'm going to find Von Brake." And he starts up the stairs. Okay. Does that change what anyone's doing? Lucas was grabbing a quick breakfast and then going to practice, but you do see that what you're surmising is a wizard or something like that is going to wake Von Brake.
Where is Ethan at?
He's sleeping. He came back about half hour to an hour. Yeah, in the upstairs room.
Okay, I'm going to go upstairs.
But you do know that you're supposed to leave not long after dawn, so.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go get Ethan.
Okay. So you head up there and Asturd, anything? You see the wizard come in, he's headed toward, he says, I'm going to go get Von Brake. That's what he's saying.
Lucas is our current Chiron guarding at the jail, right?
Correct.
And he wasn't guarding him the whole night?
He's either, he guarded Ethan the first half of the night, then he was with you guys for a couple hours, and then he left within a half hour, 45 minutes when the constables came and took Frederick away. He left with him. So he's been up all night.
I'm going to go to the jail still. Okay. Kind of let him know that the wizard is looking for Fondre at the moment.
Okay. So the story is leaving. All right. What about Herrick?
I'm sure he's very ambitious.
Okay. Hanging out at breakfast. Okay. And what did you say Klum was doing once activity started?
She's going down to the inn to get breakfast.
So as Lucas, first you would see the wizard. So you leave the room, you step out. In fact, you just step out of the hallway, and you're pulling your door shut, and you see the wizard enter, and you know that he travels with Von Brake. He's coming down the hallway because the second set of stairs is at your end. So just kind of walk past him like nothing ever happened, or go back in your room, or what?
I'll walk past him and, grab a quick meal. Do I see any of the party?
You will when you get downstairs.
I'll
remember
continue.
The hallway is 2 to 2.5 foot wide.
Yeah, so we have to, walk right past each other.
Yeah, you will literally be, even with effort, you'll be brushing up against him. It would not be suspicious for you to step back in the room long enough to let him pass because that hallway is so narrow.
Yeah, I'll do that and wait until I hear his footsteps go by.
Okay, roll a d20. Just looking for a low number, just trying not to look suspicious, basically.
18.
Okay. Nice. So you step in the hallway. You feel like you did a pretty good job of not looking suspicious. You step in the door, hold the door most of the way shut while he goes by. As he steps past the door, you see he looks directly at you. So that puts his head 2 feet from yours because the hallway is only 2.5 feet wide. And he's moving down the hallway. But there's no obvious emotional response. You get a good look at his face. Again, other than where he has a beard and mustache, his skin looks very smooth and kind of oddly so, and kind of gray-tinted, palish toward gray. Okay? And then he continues on. You hear his footsteps going up the steps. Heading down?
Yeah. I'll go on.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.